the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, we've all heard in the U.S., heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. But there's so much information in terms of heart disease. Diet, exercise, things you should do, genetics, and there's also misinformation. Is fat the real cause of heart disease? Is it diet? Is it carbohydrates? What should one do? Joining us on the program is Jeff Cotterman from TriSystems. And Jeff, you recently did a study taking a look at information that's out there. We've had authors on this program that have talked about low-carb diets like Atkins or keto. We've also had experts on this program talk about the vegan and vegetarian diet, including the Blue Zones, where plant-based diets, people are healthier. Now, there's a lot of information when it comes to heart disease, what causes it, what kind of diet you should use to avoid it. You looked into this recently, basically in high fat and low carb diets. What were your findings as you researched this?
Quick little background. So for 27 years, I've been a licensed sports nutritionist, and I've been writing menus and exercise programs primarily for people to lose body fat to improve performance. And we've worked on a spectrum of clients from professional athletes down to just people that just want to lose body fat and optimize their performance. And for the first 2.5 decades of my career, I've been very focused on a high carbohydrate diet. Even if someone came to me and said they had low carb tolerance or that their carbs just kind of made them gain weight, we would start them off on a low carb diet. And the general strategy was to follow ADA guidelines, American Diabetic Association, American Heart Association guidelines, which were to generally improve the ability to absorb glycogen and gain muscle mass and the ability to tolerate carbs. So our general protocol was over long-term nutrition counseling was to get people to incorporate healthy carbs in their life. And then some of the nutritionists, one of my jobs is to teach the sports nutrition licensing course. So we mentor and teach personal trainers and coaches on proper nutrition advice and how to write menus. And some of them would come to me and say, listen, I've got success on doing things like a high fat, low carb diet. And it didn't make sense to me. How could an endurance athlete, how could even an aesthetic athlete, how could a strength athlete deplete their body of carbohydrate, deplete their muscles of carbohydrate and still perform well? And then the second strike, a little three-strike process happened. The second strike was this study came out in late August, early September, over 12 years involving 18 countries. And the definitive findings were that there was a greater increased risk of heart disease or mortality, heart-related mortality, with a high carbohydrate diet over a high fat diet. And that didn't make sense to me. That makes sense to me that, okay, my athletes are going to have a shorter lifespan than people that choose this other way of eating. And it kind of went tilt. I thought, well, the fundamental way that saturated fat kills us, and remember, just like you said in the beginning, heart disease is the leading cause of death in America. We're most likely, athlete or not, sedentary or active, the most likely way we're going to die is a heart attack or heart-related atherosclerosis, something leading to heart failure. And so what we've been teaching in schools and what I knew in my course was that if you eat saturated fat, it increases LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, in your arteries. It's a sticky kind of plaque substance in the body trying to heal itself or rid itself from the plaque. The arteries get occluded, they get thickened, and eventually you have atherosclerosis to the point where you can have a heart attack or prevent blood flow from further down in the bloodstream. And so saturated fat was a major cause of that. And it didn't make sense to me that a high-fat diet that had a lot more fat, including saturated fat, would reduce the risk of heart disease. Then, third strike, Dr. Brian Lenskes, he is a physician in San Diego. He goes to my church, so he's a friend of mine. He's been my client for a long time. And, you know, he's lost maybe 30 pounds of fat over the year with me doing high-carb, low-fat, exercising his brains out. He gives me a call and says, I want you to look at this new thing I'm doing, and it involved intermittent fasting and a low carb, high fat diet. In fact, he was in ketosis, so he was on a ketogenic diet. And I said, I don't want to hear it. I was very skeptical. And it was a Friday night. I was home from work. He called me on the phone. And I felt like I was being solicited by, you know, a supplement company or a network marketing company. And we got into this deep discussion. It got pretty heated. And we started bringing up studies. He started bringing up books. And he started looking at the data. I was asking him specifically about heart disease and carb depletion and athletic performance, because that's my wheelhouse. That's my world. And over 2.5 hours, he convinced me that this is something to look at. So I looked at all the data, and I was sold that, listen, and I use it as an experiment. I said, okay, I'm going to put myself on the same type of diet. So I started doing intermittent fasting myself, and I live a pretty active lifestyle. I mean, we have a morning class at 5 a.m. at my Tri-System Center, where I'm jumping around at 50 years old. I'm jumping around at 5 a.m., and most days I'm seeing clients into the night. So I'm pretty active, and my performance didn't go down. In fact, over 6 weeks, and I had this monitor over 6 weeks, I personally, and I didn't have it really to lose, I lost 20 pounds of fat. I got down into single digit body fat. I'm not really altering things much other than my macronutrients, going higher fat, lower carbohydrate, and then limiting the times that I ate.
When you say you went higher fat, what kind of fats were you eating? I mean, you know, you can get a lot of fat by eating a nice ribeye steak, or you can get fat from avocado. So when you say you were eating more fat, what kind of fat?
Right. So my menu food choices really didn't change. So I was very monounsaturated dominant. So instead of putting a teaspoon of olive oil in my salad, I put a tablespoon or two of olive oil in my salad and didn't worry about just dipping my fork in a little bit of dressing. I added hemp seeds to my salad. I added sunflower seeds to a salad. For breakfast, instead of having cereal, I would have a tablespoon of walnuts, a tablespoon of pecans, a tablespoon of hemp seeds, a little papitas, which are shelled pumpkin seeds. I even cut down on my protein, and that was something relative to this nutrition plan that I think we've missed. So I kind of put this all together. So for breakfast, high fat. And some days I would have, instead of egg whites, I'd have, instead of 5 egg whites and maybe 1 yolk, I'd have 2 eggs with the yolk in them. I'd have some turkey sausage, or I'd have my little breakfast that I just talked about, which was just a lot of seeds that are really high fat, low carb, very monounsaturated dominant. Now, I still have saturated fat. So to be honest, even though I stay away from a lot of saturated fat, I had more red meat in my diet, like prime rib. Instead of chicken breast, I'd have chicken thighs. And other than that, it was really the same. The things that really went down, I didn't have rice. I didn't have pasta. I didn't have beans. Those things I eliminated from my diet. But I still had fruit. So instead of bananas, I have blueberries now. And I have grapes. And I have strawberries. I have blueberries. It's more like they're supplements. I won't have 50 grapes or a cup of grapes. I'll have 2 strawberries, or I'll have 5 blueberries, and I'll get all the antioxidant value. So it was really a macronutrient shift. And that's where my epiphany came. You know, Atkins has been saying low carbohydrate for 30 years. And the paleo diet is high fat, low carbohydrate, because it eliminates dairy and it eliminates grains and it eliminates sugar. And I think that they're in the ballpark, but they really haven't hit it home. What really makes sense in a low-carb, high-fat diet is you also have to kind of limit your protein, because protein also has 4 calories per gram. So protein, the body can be converted into glucose or into sugar through something called gluconeogenesis. So Dr. Brian Lenske, explained all this to me. And I had an epiphany. I said, okay, the reason why Atkins isn't as successful as a low-carb, high-fat, and ketogenic-type diet is because when you up your protein, your body gets adept at turning it into carbohydrate, and you really aren't eating a true low-carbohydrate diet. And so once you eat a true low-carbohydrate diet, then you can actually get into the body becoming what's known as fat-adapted, and you start to burn more fat.
I guess one of the confusing things out there is you can read, there are numerous books out there talking about vegan, vegetarians, and with all kinds of evidence of lower heart disease. I guess when you have all of these different diets, with many of them producing the kind of results that everybody wants to see, lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, things like that, I mean, how does one choose what works? Is it because individual bodies, our DNA, our blood types are different, that maybe certain diets work for some people and they don't for others? Have you looked at that?
I think that's a really valid point. Genetic diversity and just the variance in the human body over a spectrum is one of the reasons why you really have to look at yourself as an individual. There's no one diet fits all. There's a great book out there called Diet Cults, and he just refutes every diet. He pokes hole in every single major diet and says that the reason that they work is people treat it like a religion. And his main point in that book is that nutrition is really not a belief system, it's a science. So let's look at the science and why a certain percentage of the population is going to reverse heart disease with a vegan diet, while the same result, you're going to actually improve and get off medications with a ketogenic diet. They seem to be on the opposite end of the spectrum. So what I did, and we put this all in the assessment, and we made this free. This is so important that money shouldn't be the reason why you don't look at this. So we put out a free assessment. And what I did was I lined up all the diets that I knew, and almost like, I'm going to throw a little faith-based in. I'm a Christian. And what evolutionists do is they've organized human life down to one cell, and they just organize it in a realm, and they say evolution actually happened that way, from the simplest to the, I don't necessarily believe that, but that's taxonomy, that's the organization. So I took diets and did the same thing. I organized on one end of the spectrum was vegan, on the other end of the spectrum was ketosis, and I put everything in between, from my food guide pyramid to elimination diet to kosher eating, religious-based diets, and I tried to organize them, and I noticed that the overwhelming similarity in the spectrum, what really defined these diets, whether you're a no sugar diet, whether you're a no meat diet, was macronutrient spread. There's scientists out there, PhDs and medical doctors, doing carnivorous diets where they're eating nothing but meat now. That's crazy to me, but people are doing it and seeing success on it. But if you balance your macronutrients, in other words, if you look at the nutritional spectrum, and if you go high carbohydrate, look at it like a seesaw. If you go high carbohydrate and you go really low fat, like Dean Ornish has done and the American Heart Association, you will get success. And then if you do the opposite, if you tilt the seesaw the other way, you go high fat, but make sure you go low carb and not high protein, low protein as well, you will see success. The problem with nutrition right now is that we're eating too much processed stuff. And then when you eat food that's really high in sugar, which is a processed food, table sugar or high fructose corn syrup is a highly processed, highly dense, something that's highly glycemic. And then you combine that with a high fat food, a high saturated food. Now you have the recipe for disaster. That's where heart disease and diabetes are really going to increase their propensity, because you're breaking the seesaw. You're eating high fat and high carb at the same time. So if we swing that seesaw back and forth, then both situations, I've actually had very good success with vegan diets. I've had some actual great success recently with ketogenic diets. I've had competitors compete and win on a ketogenic diet. And then recently, this was really fun from the gym, I wrote a ketogenic vegan nutrition program. And she's doing incredible. She won't eat meat. She's vegan. She won't even drink milk or do cheese or do egg. Nothing. She won't have honey because it comes from an animal. But I wrote a program, and now she's got the best of both worlds. So the bottom line, veggies are important, but if you're going to go higher starchy veggies, you have to go low fat. But you can get all the benefits of the phytonutrients and antioxidants and vitamins and minerals in veggies and even low glycemic fruits on a ketogenic diet and benefit from that. Now, the third thing, the third epiphany that I discovered with Dr. Lenskes, and now we've got a cardiologist, Dr. Brett Scher in Del Mar. He's on board. He's got a podcast. The third epiphany is that there's a correlation between macronutrients and meal frequency. So if you go on a high carbohydrate diet, blood sugar is going to rise and fall, and you're going to get an insulin response. And that insulin response is going to make you hungry. So the higher your carbohydrate intake, most vegans that are low fat, they're going to have to eat that more than three times a day, four times a day, five times a day. And that's where this, along with the high carbohydrate diet, that's where these six meals have come in. But if you go to a higher fat diet, you go more towards high fat, low carb, then meal frequency goes down. Now you're eating three times a day or even two times a day. Some people are even eating just one time a day. And if a client came in and said they ate one meal a day, I'd say, oh, you're messing yourself up. You're going catabolic. You're using your muscle for fuel and wrecking your metabolism. But if you are eating a fat adaptive diet, where your macronutrients are 50% of fat or higher, your carbohydrates are under 100, less than 50, and your protein is just an adequate amount of protein to replenish protein source, to grow and recover from exercise, then you can eat two or three times a day. And that's exactly what I did. I did some intermittent fasting for myself, and I wasn't hungry. Dr. Lenskis was complaining that, you know, his patients wouldn't even be able to do a fasting blood test because they can't go 3 hours without eating. And it's because they're used to that high carbohydrate diet. They're used to those blood fluctuations, and they weren't able to just fast overnight and go in the morning and get their blood work. Now it's much easier to fast. Now, this also had a religious connotation. You know, the Bible says you need to pray and fast to work on certain demons in your life. And as a sports nutritionist, as a Christian sports nutritionist, I would always say clients come in, don't fast. You're going to mess yourself up. I mean, fasting's for people with healthy metabolisms. But now I've found out the physiological way to fast. You can actually fast. And, you know, if you're not religious, that's fine. But there's all kinds of science to back up prayer and fasting. We can't refute the fact that meditation and fasting physiologically improves our lives. And that's exciting. That's what's making me feel like I'm a new nutritionist again, because I've had to relearn this stuff. It's a Damascus moment. I feel like Paul. I feel like my nutrition is going 180. We've had to rewrite these nutrition courses to now accept this spectrum of eating. So now, as long as you do it the way we're biologically designed, you can successfully do a vegan program. You can successfully do a high-carb, low-fat, or a low-carb, high-fat program, as long as you follow it according to our intelligent design, according to our biological design. And that's just exciting to me. We're doing a seminar right now, and it happens to be at my church. And not everybody there is Christian. People are just coming to learn about this, because Dr. Lenskis is showing that people are getting off their insulin. They're getting off diabetic medications like metformin. They're getting off blood pressure medication because they're following this nutrition plan. And I've got a client, this 350-pound client. With me, he lost about 50 pounds doing high-carb, low-fat. And he got frustrated and he quit. And Dr. Lenskis really did something that made me hit home. He says, I've never met a patient that came into me that was over 300 pounds that said, yeah, I went on the 6-meal-a-day exercise program, 6-meal-a-day high-carb, low-fat, and lost the weight. He's never met that person. And looking back at my clients, I started feeling bad, saying, you know, when an obese client came in, we had short-term success, and we didn't get long-term success. They always rebound. And now this same guy, Chuck Hicks, he's allowed us to use his name. He's on there. He's on Facebook right now. His actual nickname on Facebook is Quarter Ton Keto Man. Because the guy got up to 465 pounds. And over the last 6 months, Chuck, this guy's a Christian. They depend upon him at church. He works at church. He's our audio video guy. And at 465 pounds, he would remotely access in down the hallway to other computers that he had to fix rather than walk down there, because he couldn't. He'd be out of breath walking down the hall. In 6 months, Jim, he's lost 120 pounds. He's lost a whole person doing this high-fat, low-carb program. And I feel like it's divinely inspired. The guy has unlocked him. He's been struggling all his life with this. It's exciting to see people get off medication.
Yeah, because I've seen, and we've had authors on the program that are describing the same beneficial effects, whether it's vegan, vegetarian, we've had paleo people. In your opinion, as you've looked at these different diets and seen the results, is it something in a person's DNA, genetic makeup, that makes one diet more efficient in getting better results with a person rather than say, well, this one diet works for everybody? I guess that's the point I want to get to, because, you know, I think you would agree that somebody should see a doctor. You should have tests done. You know, what's your cholesterol? What's your triglycerides, your blood pressure, all of that. And then formulating a diet that may work better for you, given your weight and your blood chemistry. Would you recommend that?
I think you've hit the nail right on the head there, and that it's all individual, and that, yes, we have genetic propensity, so family history and blood work. So what we're suggesting right now, we've developed a group, and we're trying to recruit other health professionals to use this free protocol. It's at the Tri-System Health Network. But the thing that you got to do, if you're interested in this and you really want to kind of unlock your DNA, you don't have to do genetic testing. You have to do a simple battery of blood tests. And the first thing that we need to measure is fasting insulin. And it's not a common test. Most doctors They'll measure your blood glucose, your triglycerides, your A1C, and look at your blood sugar. And if that's controlled, then look at your blood fats. And if you have normal cholesterol and normal blood sugar, then you're healthy. But there are people out there that are diabetic that aren't overweight. So these doctors are seeing incidences where a marathon runner comes in, he's 160 pounds, a triathlete comes in, and they're type 2 diabetic, and there's no outward symptoms. They just do their blood work, and their blood sugar is crazy. And then there's other people out there that are obese, like Chuck, who's 400 and some odd pounds when he came in to get his blood work done, and he has normal blood sugar, normal cholesterol. What's the underlying issue? Well, in order to manage blood sugar and in order to manage your whole metabolic system, the pancreas and the liver work together to store muscle glycogen, to process fats and make hormones, the building blocks of hormones. So the liver actually manufactures cholesterol. And it also does protein synthesis. So where you build muscle, the start of it starts in the liver. So liver function and pancreas function are the center of all this. So we got to measure that. And fasting insulin is a measurement of the amount of insulin that the pancreas puts out. And what we're finding is that a large cause of obesity in America, remember, 70% of us are overweight in America. Over 50% of us in America are at a weight that's affecting our disease risk, that's actually increasing the risk of heart disease or cancer. And it could be due to hyperinsulinemia. And I'm sure, Jim, you've heard of this. It's called Syndrome X, so it's called metabolic syndrome. But you really got to look at the levels of insulin. And if you get this test and you're at 2 or lower, and your insulin sensitivity is high, and high carbohydrate diets for you, you can do it fine because you're insulin sensitive. But if your fasting insulin is over 5, and even if you seem and feel healthy and you're on high carbohydrate diet, then intermittent fasting and a higher fat diet is more likely for you. Another way to assess this is somatotype. Somatotype is just body type. And to simplify it, rather than, I always forget which is ectomorph, which is endomorph. You've probably heard these terms, but let's just label your body with a letter. If you look in the mirror and you look like straight up and down, you're an I. If you look in the mirror and you have an hourglass figure, you have broad shoulders and a narrow waist, then you're a V. Everybody wants to be a V or a mesomorph. Or if you look in the mirror and your middle is bigger than your extremities, then you're an O. And so even without blood work, we can kind of estimate that O people lend more towards a higher fat, lower carbohydrate diet, mesomorph, somewhere in the middle, you can do whatever you want. V types, you know, everybody wants to be a V. And then I types are hard gainers. They have a hard time gaining muscles. So a higher carbohydrate diet might be what they need just to fuel their muscles. So those are ways to assess. The best thing to do is go to your doctor and get this blood work done, because A1C and triglycerides, C-reactive protein, they all help to determine disease risk. But that one thing that mainstream medicine is not doing is that insulin, fasting insulin. So I recommend you request that. Now we're getting a little pushback from that, Jim, and that's where interviews like this are really going to help us. But we want to get the word out. This is a simple little thing. It's an insulin test. It should be standard, almost like taking your blood pressure and taking your weight whenever you get your physical. You should get your fasting insulin. It's a simple test. It's not expensive. And we're getting pushback. So what we're doing here in San Diego is Dr. Lenskes will actually write a lab request, because you can't just go get blood work without a doctor's sign off on it.
Is this something that Medicare would honor? Because, you know, a lot of people listening to this program are on Medicare, and you know the government, they don't always approve things. So let's say you found this doctor, he writes a prescription. Can you get it covered by Medicare, or is that out of pocket?
Yes, you can. So it's not out of pocket. Along with your annual physical, you can do this for free or even as a separate test. But in Medicare, your gatekeeper is your primary care physician. They have to sign off on it. The primary care physician has to say, yes, there is a reason to do this. There's an insurance code that the doctor has to write to justify it for Medicare. And that is, I suspect prediabetes. And so there's a code for that that the doctor can write. It's the prediabetic code. And that warrants doing this test because it's not an expensive test. And so Medicare will cover it, bottom line. The problem that we're having is that there's pushback, in that some physicians out there that are very much aligned with the American Heart Association are saying, no, there's no need for the test. Your blood sugar is fine. Your triglycerides are fine. Why would we look at insulin resistance? But what happens is the body works overtime to get your blood sugars normal. And what they don't realize is extra insulin to make it normal. So high insulin secretion or insulin resistance can actually cause the same thing that high LDL causes. It can cause atherosclerosis. It can cause hardening of the arteries in the heart. So it's just as risky as having a high fat, high carbohydrate diet. It's just as risky to have that if you have insulin resistance.
So, Jeff, the name of that test is what now?
Fasting insulin. They're actually measuring the insulin in your blood, which regulates blood sugar. So rather than measure blood glucose, which is a way to determine if you're diabetic, we're actually looking at the hormone in your blood, insulin, to see how much is out there actually controlling your blood sugar. Fasting insulin.
Well, listen, Jeff, if our listeners would like to find out more about the tests that you have done, because I found it fascinating, because we have had authors and very well-respected doctors on this program, from Dean Ornish to Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Heart Clinic, and I have seen evidence and at least documentation that all these diets, whether it's paleo, whether it's keto, whether it's vegetarian, vegan, all work. And, you know, all these diets, I guess it really gets down to who you are, your DNA, your body chemistry makeup, and your physical attributes in terms of what really works for you. So I'm glad that you've put this to a test. If our listeners would like to find out more about this, tell them how they could do so, please.
Sure. So if you go to trisystem.network, you can click on there. I'm interested in either a low-carb program. We have a faith-based program there. If you're an executive or if you're overweight, you just click on that and click on the low-carb program or the Why Am I Fat program, and you will get a link to a free assessment. And that free assessment, it's not this, okay, you have to do all this on a computer. It's a downloadable PDF. It's paper. And you can go through the assessment and you can look at the nutrition spectrum and find out through this assessment what diet is best for you, what nutrition program is best for you, and it's free. And if you need help doing it, we have people that will get on the phone and help you go through it. If you're in San Diego or in areas that we have practitioners, you can actually come in for free and meet with a practitioner and help you through this assessment. Because I feel like we're saving lives. 70% of us are overweight, Jim. Very few of us are actually in a healthy weight. Very few of us today even have healthy blood pressure and healthy A1C. We're actually changing the standards now to try to accommodate the wave of sedentary lifestyle and overweightness that we have. And our long-term goal, my vision with these doctors and other practitioners, is to eventually collect enough data that we go to Medicare, we go to major healthcare providers and say, listen, you're already covering the medication. If we can lower the risk of the cost of care for these people, because once you put somebody on insulin, they're going to get fat. Once you put somebody on statin drugs, their quality of life is going to go down. Well, we want to get the attention of healthcare companies to approve this as a viable prescription that healthcare companies pay for, that health insurance pays for. The healthcare system is broken. We can't afford all these drugs and procedures that aren't really as effective as lifestyle change. And then we all know in our hearts that, you know, eating right and exercise is the way to go. But if we have a specific methodology, and it's as simple as taking a blood test and deciding, okay, what are my macros? If that's going to really affect mortality rate in America, then let's do it. And let's show the people that are in control of spending dollars on it, that the simple old way is good, that technology and developing drugs is not the only answer. You know, if we go back, Dr. Lenska showed this to me. He has a medical book, a medical prescription book from 1869. You know what the treatment for diabetes was back in 1869 was a low-carb, high-fat diet. And that was even before we discovered insulin and started getting medication. And then once drugs came into play, we say, okay, we don't have to follow a diet anymore, just take a pill. And what happens is people are able to manage their lifestyle, have high carbohydrates, and when their blood sugar goes up, they just take insulin. What they don't realize is the more insulin they take, the greater their risk for heart disease, the more they're causing atherosclerosis and gaining weight. If you go back to the 1800s and look at the medical books, the treatment for epilepsy was a low-carb, high-fat diet. The management for mental clarity is that. And the cool thing is Dom DiAgostino, today in modern day, he's the nutritionist and nutrition specialist out there for Navy SEALs and for astronauts for NASA. And the Navy SEALs now are becoming fat-adapted. They're putting them on ketogenic diets. Why? One, because they can fast. They can go out on a mission and they don't have to bring food. They can fast for 48 hours and not sacrifice performance. And we're talking Navy SEALs, the best of the best. And they're also finding that you have mental clarity. So if you have somebody out there that has to make split decisions, I'm sure you have friends that are into the stock market or day traders, and they have to make split decisions. If something's going to give them mental clarity and make them feel a little bit sharper during the day, then that might give them the competitive edge to do what they do and do it better. So it just comes down to, let's do what's natural and basic. Let's do what's right for you. If you are hungry for breakfast in the morning, every morning, don't fight yourself and say, I'm not going to eat breakfast, I'm going to fast. Eat it and do the program that's right for you, just like you say, Jim. If you wake up and you're not hungry, then maybe intermittent fasting and a program that's built around what you naturally do, you'll be more compliant and more happy in the long run. So it's based on you as an individual. Let's not force ourselves to do what we would be in food jail for. Let's do something that's sustainable. I get excited. Of course, I appreciate being on, but I could talk about this all day, Jim. I feel like I'm 20 years younger. I feel like I've found, you know, the holy grail of food.
Well, listen, Jeff, as we close, your website one more time.
Trisystem.network. And that's the Trisystem Health Network.
Well, Jeff, listen, thanks for joining us on the program. It's interesting to hear the results of your study, because it is, when you think about it, you can turn on television, you've got Jenny Craig, you got Nutrisystems, you got South Beach Diet, you've got News and World Reports talking about the salt diet. There's all kinds of diets out there, and it can be very confusing as to which one really works. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it. Great to talk to you, Jim.
Well, that was an interesting interview. I wanted to have Jeff on because I've read his stuff before. In fact, I actually used him as a personal trainer when I started to get physically fit. And if you've been listening to this program, we've had a number of authors on the program, and very good ones, from Dr. Dean Ornish to Caldwell Esselstyn, the authors of the China Study. Well, you've heard them all, from paleo to keto. And, you know, I've come to this conclusion, and I've seen it with many clients. I have a doctor client that is on the keto diet, and she runs marathons, and she eats nothing but ribeye steaks, eggs, cheese, and has low cholesterol, as healthy as can be. I mean, you have to be when you're running marathons. And so it really kind of struck me, I wonder if this has more to do with a person's body chemistry, blood type. And it's interesting that Jeff was finding this in his study. Anyway, we'd like to thank you for joining us on today's program. In the meantime, until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.